Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about God's purpose now. We hopefully have concluded that God has different functional purposes according to the time frame that we are in. But his ultimate purpose is all the same, and that's to bring us, you and I, into completeness in him. He is unveiling his purpose over the eons, over the ages. But for you and I, we have a personal investment in knowing what his purpose is so that we can cooperate with him. His relationship with you and I is not based on his time-related purposes. In other words, the whole concept of for such a time as this, that we are placed here at a given time because he needs someone with our particular characteristics or abilities to achieve a goal. He doesn't need any of us to achieve a goal other than to be a receiver for what he gives. In the effecting of his will in politically, in time, in geography, in legalism, law, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need you and I. He doesn't need anything. But he wants relationship with us. That's what he created us for, is to be able to receive unconditionally what he gives unconditionally. The more we can compare what we've been taught, what we believe, against that standard, the more easily we are able to see the distinction between believing something because it fulfills our need and believing the truth. The more we are able to relinquish our own standards, the more we're able to receive God's truth with a capital T. Just because something is true doesn't mean it has that life of truth. And his ways are not our ways. And we all know that, and yet we have a hard time putting it into effect. We have a hard time accepting that God does things differently than we think he does or think he should. But over time, as we know him on a personal basis, on a personal level, however he chooses to be is fine with us. We don't have to know all the little things he's doing next. It's not part of our motivation to pursue him so that we will be in his will, to know him so that we will receive a blessing and not a curse. Instead, we pursue him because we love him and we have received his love for us. We have tasted of the freedom and the joy and the character of God, and we want more. There's no second reason. There's no secondary motivation to knowing him other than we want more of him. And that's that perfect alignment of his purpose and our purpose. He wants to give us more of him, and we want to receive more of him. And that more is not a quantity, but it's a realization that for us to experience that completeness that he wants for us, our soul and our body are going to have to line up. And so we cooperate with him, and we let him, moment by moment, project by project, deal with those things that are hindering his free flow through us. So we've been talking about the way, what God's purpose for each one of us, what does it look like now? We've talked about how God gives himself, how God reveals himself. And we left off talking about how God directs us. He leads us and he guides us. And so God wants to reveal himself in part so that he can direct us. Very often we want to be led by him, following after him. As we grow to depend on him more and more, he wants to point out the way and say, go that way. Then move with us as we proceed. He wants us to go on our own, sort of. It's never apart from him, but it's not because we see where he's going. But he says, this is the way, walk in it. And so we walk in it. And we accept that whole notion that we're going to make mistakes. Whoop-de-doo. It's not a big deal. It doesn't mean anything that you've made a mistake. There are consequences, and we deal with the consequences, but they don't mean anything. They make us stronger. And you're certainly not surprising God, and you're not surprising your spirit, who you truly are. So don't get distracted by the mistakes. You ask God, God, is there anything I should learn from this mistake? And you use everything you're going through, every success, every problem, every corner turned, and you say, Lord, what do you want to say about this? Here I am. How are we doing? What else do I need to know? Is there anything? And we keep turning back to him. First thing we do, always, Lord, what is your truth here? Lord, what are you saying here? Lord, what's up? And we find our own comfort level in communicating with God. You're going to be with him for eternity. Why not start now building that comfortable, relaxing relationship with him? There's never going to be a better time. And it will serve his purpose for you to be comfortable with him. Develop those new habits of just turning to him. He wants to direct you. Again, that's different than leading you, where you follow after him. He's going to direct you, point you in the way to go, and then go with you as you go. Now, this in some respects may seem contradictory to walking in dependence, but it's really not, because in your spirit you are already in full dependence. And walking after him is not necessarily independence. Sometimes it's just not knowing who you are in him. Sometimes it's letting your soul, your temperament, your personality have preeminence rather than your identity as a son of God, as a co-inheritor, as a joint heir. So keep in mind that as you find yourself moving in him and obeying him without thinking or deciding to, that's a much greater reflection of who you are as a spirit being. And that's going to become, even though it may seem awkward at first, it will become much more comfortable for you because it is who you truly are. As your soul and body line up with your spirit, they come under the control of your spirit. That's when there's a unity that truly knows the way to go, because there's no conflict of interest. You go without a need for signs or confirmations or even proof after the fact. The knowing of confidence becomes all. This is an experience that is better felt than telt. But we must hold out for knowing him by spirit rather than settling for the natural and supernatural manifestations of the Lord we will experience as our supernatural and natural senses are tuned. Don't settle for yesterday's experiences with him. Until you are complete in him, spirit, soul, and body, he has more for you. Hopefully that's an exciting concept for you. To know, God wants to know you completely. He's not going to let you resist. He is doing whatever's necessary to bring you into completion in him. And one of the big ways he does that is he consumes our flesh. That's a big focus, a big purpose of God for you and I as individuals right now. He consumes our flesh. We learn to recognize it and learn the distinction between the temperament, the way God put our soul together, as from him and pleasing to him. And he's happy with your temperament. He's not making you, wanting you to change the way God made you, the way he made you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not broken, and he's not going to fix it. But when we rely on it, it becomes flesh. And that he's not going to allow, because you're either relying on your strength of your soul or you're relying on him. And he is your only source of life. He's not going to let you rely on your own strength. So it is particularly important to remember that this is his job, not ours. And that he is always working on this. He's so big, he doesn't have to worry about one area or another. He's working on all areas in your life right now. So we don't have to worry about covering all the bases. We can just, Lord, is there anything else you want to talk to me about? Any other area? And as we follow along this path, we will come up with a list of Aries just every once in a while to check in with him. Because sometimes if it's not on the front burner with us, we just pass over it, that it's not an area. So we aren't as sensitive to God in that area. And so there are occasions where we just want to go through the list and see if there's something he wants to talk to us that we don't even know about. So our flesh is the only thing that truly stands in the way of our resting and relaxing in our new identity. And it's the only thing that we have to work on that hasn't been overcome already as our inheritance. It interferes with God's life working in and through us. So it is his priority to consume our flesh. Now, he's generous and he's gracious and he's gentle. So because of his love for us, and because he knows how fragile we are, he doesn't strip us of all of our flesh at once. We just couldn't stand it. So he's got his own timetable and his own lineup of projects to work on. And we can rest assured that he's working on what's most important to him. Though it may not be what we want him to be working on. Now, this can get annoying. There may be things in our life that are embarrassing or that we feel are ruining our lives or ruining our future, and yet God doesn't seem to deal with them. Sometimes he's not dealing with them yet. He's maybe dealing with something much more important to him. Can we accept his priorities? His lineup of projects? Now, hopefully, it's reassuring to know that by the time he makes us aware of an aspect of the flesh that he is working on to consume, by the time he brings that to the surface, brings it to our attention, the vast majority of the work has already been done. So we're only involved in that bonfire where he does the final consuming of our flesh in that area. He wants us to participate in his victory. Victory, you are a victor. You are not a victim. And you're not a victim of your flesh. You are an overcomer. But how do you become an overcomer? There's only one way, and that's to overcome. As you experience this, you'll understand it. So ask, Lord, ask him as you spend time with him if there's any area that he wants to consume. And then just cooperate with him as he takes you step by step. Don't label it sin. It's not sin. You're not a sinner anymore. It's flesh. It's your soul. It's your flesh. It's not you. It's not who you are. It's not your character, your nature. It's something about you. And only God can remove it. Just cooperate with him and say, okay, I can see how that does not line up with getting my life from you. Remember here that God, though he hates the flesh, doesn't hold it against us. He knew from the very beginning that he would create the flesh that we're contending with today. he knew, because of the temperament he gave you, that you would be creating flesh that you're dealing with today. He knew that. You're not surprising him. It may be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to him. From the very beginning, likewise, he has been arranging the perfect circumstances to expose your flesh, to show you where you've been relying on your own strength, so that you can receive healing and freedom and enjoy having your needs met. We're on God's side on this. We're not battling him. But we are battling our soul. Who you truly are, a spirit being, is in full agreement with everything God is doing. But your flesh doesn't want to die. And your soul has never been this way before. Your soul has never lived free, doesn't know what it's like. But God is drawing your soul to him through your spirit. So we cannot be reminded enough to be patient with ourselves and with others and with God. There's that dichotomy that God is love and he is a consuming fire. We can rest assured that he will finish what he started. Jesus puts his finger on what stands between us and knowing God, whatever it is, because it's knowing God that is eternal life. That's not just, again, more life. It's God's life, God's being, God's essence. We're already experiencing it in our spirit. But God wants us whole and complete and entire. So we are experiencing spirit life in our soul and our body, just as we are experiencing it in our spirit now. So though we often don't understand what he's doing, we come to understand and accept that although there is a way that seems right to us, its end result brings separation from the things of God. We cannot expect God to share his dominion and authority and even his truth with our flesh. Your flesh is an enemy of God. And your enemy as well. That battlefield, that stronghold of your flesh, that's where our greatest effort and energy will be spent. Because this is where you learn to become an overcomer. Your other enemies, the world, and Satan and his buddies, they've already been overcome. They were defeated 2,000 years ago. But God's never had flesh. Jesus never created any flesh because he always got his needs met directly by the Father. He went to the Father. He was healed by the Father. He depended on the Father. That doesn't mean he didn't go through the same temptations, the same sufferings, the same opportunities to develop flesh that we do. he knew how to go to his father to get his needs met. There's only two kinds of people in the world, those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. So you're going to be hurt. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be wounded. The goal is not to avoid those situations, but to know how to go to God, to be comforted and encouraged and healed and motivated. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Your source of life is in your spirit. It's the flesh that is hindering you personally from receiving it. The battle is right in front of you. It's not out there. It's not in your circumstances. What's going on in your circumstances is to reveal the areas in your life where you are relying on your flesh. Not causing it. We all want, we want to get out of whatever situation it is that's causing us grief. We want to get out of it. God says, no, I created this circumstance for my purpose. Learn from it. Take advantage of it. Make the most out of every situation that you're in. Otherwise, God's just going to have to create another project, another circumstance, another situation to do what needs to be done. And you've already agreed to it. In your spirit, you are already fully cooperating with him and saying, yes, Lord, do this. Do whatever's necessary. You've already agreed that what God is doing in your life is what needs to be done. Why? Because one of God's big purposes is not only to consume our flesh, but to teach us how to walk in freedom in this life. Free from the influence of the world, our flesh and the devil, and free to be fully available and receiving everything he gives us. That doesn't mean that he removes us from their influence or that he removes them from this earthly realm. Freedom means that as we learn to walk in confident victory, day by day, we become impervious to their influence, like brushing the dirt off of our shoes. This is one of God's major goals, and he spends 24 hours of every day doing nothing but thinking about us and arranging our lives and our circumstances to draw us into perfect union within our being and complete unity with him. We think we know that freedom is being free from bad circumstances or full knowledge of what we are supposed to be doing and full ability. No problems in any of those areas of relationships or health or finances. But actually freedom is being in this world united, spirit, soul, and body with God, living according to your true nature as a spirit being. That's what freedom is. It has nothing to do with the circumstances in your life. It's all about where is the source of that life. Once you've experienced it, you'll want more. So we ask the Lord to not let us settle for anything less than total freedom and total overcoming of our flesh. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow, 7:30. Till then, have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.